You're listening to continuing coverage in the Las Vegas reporter murder trial of Robert Telles from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
What are we looking at here?
It's 7200 Bronze Circle, and we've seen the video from this house several times. The camera on the east side of the house faces Wintergreen, and this will show the suspect at about 11:16 in the morning walking south on the sidewalk along Wintergreen toward Bronze Circle.
And just to be clear, when we looked at the footage before, we were looking at footage from Wheatland Way, right?
Yes.
And so was the final footage, is he walking north around that corner? Is that what we're seeing?
He's coming south.
He's walking
on Wintergreen toward Bronze Circle.
So he's on that road up there, making his way toward
Periwinkle.
Yes. I can't see the Bronze Circle block. They Periwinkle behind the Bronze Circle.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's what we see on the previous footage, and now we're going to see some continuation. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
This is the suspect still dressed the way he was on previous video, walking south toward Bronze Circle.
What are we looking at here?
This is again the same camera faces northwest from 1405 Wintergreen toward Bronze Circle, and you can see the suspect at about 11:17 walking westbound on Bronze Circle along the sidewalk.
What is significance about the next slide?
So this is surveillance video from directly across the street from Mr. Gehrman's residence. It's located at 7217 Bronze Circle. At about 11:17 in the morning, the suspect walks westbound on Bronze Circle, where the red dotted line is, to the west side of Mr. Gehrman's residence. When he leaves several minutes later, he walks back eastbound on Bronze Circle toward Wintergreen, where the blue dotted line is.
Okay, so the red dotted line signifies the approach, and the blue signifies the exit.
Yes, and see the suspect in the upper part of the
is there a division? Is there, there's not additional footage?
No, just like it again.
Okay.
This is another camera on that same residence, and this is facing north toward Mr. Gehrman's garage and west side of his house. You can see the suspect walking across the driveway up to the gate area on the west side of the house. Okay, you can go to the next slide.
What are we looking at here?
11:21 hours, the victim's garage door opens, and then you'll see Mr. Gehrman walk from the right side of the screen to the left side of the screen back to that gate area, and he's wearing the same clothes that he was wearing at the time that he was at the Roberto Taco Shop. And as soon as he gets back near the gate, you'll see the suspect come out
right there.
So the attack occurs over here on the west side of the garage. And here comes the suspect, and now he's going to leave the area eastbound on Bronze Circle. Back to the other camera angle at the same address. See him walking along the sidewalk again, and he continues walking eastbound to Wintergreen.
What are we looking at here?
This is 11:25 in the morning. The camera at 1405 Wintergreen Drive. The suspect walked to the red Yukon from Bronze Circle. He put his bag into the left rear seat. Then he got into the driver's seat and drove south on Wintergreen.
What are we looking
this is
at
just
here?
A still of the suspect getting into the driver's seat. And you can see the same hat, same jacket, pants, and shoes.
Moving on, what are we looking at here?
This is 11:30 at 1501 Rock Springs Drive, which was an apartment complex located on Rock Springs. Recorded the suspect's red Yukon driving north on Rock Springs Drive toward Vegas Drive.
Is this just a still from that?
That's correct.
What do we have here?
So this is 11:29 in the morning from the address at 7200 Periwinkle, again, corner of Wintergreen and Vegas. And it shows the red Yukon turning from west bound Vegas Drive to southbound Wintergreen at 11:29 in the morning.
Is this a still of that?
Yes.
What do we have in this slide?
We're back to 7200 Bronze Circle, the address directly across the street from Mr. Gehrman's residence. At 11:29, the suspect's red Yukon drove westbound on Bronze Circle, pulled up in front of Mr. Gehrman's house, stopped. The suspect got out of the driver's seat, went back to the area where the attack occurred, and then returned to his vehicle and left eastbound on Bronze Circle.
Next slide.
I think it might have rose up.
Oh, okay. I mean, just coming
about. Yes, this is the Denali arrive, stopping in front of Mr. Gehrman's residence. There's the suspect making a U-turn and going back eastbound on Bronze Circle. Then you'll see it turn northbound on Wintergreen. Again, 7200 Periwinkle, the intersection of Wintergreen and Vegas Drive. You'll see the red Yukon traveling northbound on Wintergreen, and then it makes a westbound turn onto Vegas.
What are we looking at here?
So this is Sunspot Street. The house actually backs up to Washington, and there's a camera located at the back of the residence that faces south toward Washington, covers kind of the backyard area of the house. At 11:35, the suspect's red Yukon drove west on Washington Avenue from Tenaya Way.
Is that a screen grab of that car driving by?
It is. And then that is a highlighted area where there appears now to be a license plate on the vehicle. So this is the Winco Food at 7501 West Washington. It's further west than the last still photo that you saw. At 1136, the suspect's red Yukon continued westbound on Washington toward Buffalo.
Is that a still of that?
It is. And again, you can see the white spot on the rear of the car where it appears now that the license plate has been reattached. This is the Arco gas station in 901 North Buffalo. It's at the northwest corner of Buffalo and Washington, and it has cameras that face east and south, and it captured the red Yukon arriving at the intersection, going through the intersection, turning southbound onto Buffalo at about 936 and 937 in the morning.
936?
1136 okay. And 1137.
And those are just stills reflecting that?
Yes.
Okay. What do we see here?
This is the P.F. Chang restaurant at 1095 South Rampart. It's at the corner, northwest corner of Rampart and Charleston, and it has cameras on both the east side and the south side of the business, which cover Rampart and Charleston. And at about 1147 in the morning, the red Yukon drove south on Rampart toward Charleston.
And it's about a 5 mile distance between these two residences, is that correct?
Approximately, yes.
Is this a still footage from that P.F. Chang?
Yes. Clothing he wore. Vehicle then turned westbound onto Charleston, and at 1148, the camera on the south side of the P.F. Chang's captured the vehicle as it drove westbound.
Is that a still of that footage?
Yes.
All right, what are we looking at here?
We continued canvassing further west on Charleston, and there was a camera located at the entrance of the Avondale Apartments at 9225 West Charleston, and 1148 in the morning, it captured the red Yukon traveling westbound on Charleston toward Apple.
And is that just in the corner over there, is that the P.F. Chang's?
Yes.
Okay, to the right corner for the record. Is this a still from that Avondale?
Correct.
What are we looking at here?
So at 1150 in the morning, the cameras at the Thomas and Mack Medical Offices located in 9499 West Charleston Boulevard captured the red Yukon traveling south on Apple.
Is that the footage?
Yes.
And what are we looking at here?
And now we're back to Pidgett Elementary School at 9601 Red Hills Drive. At 1151 in the morning, it captured the red Yukon traveling westbound on Red Hills and then making a northbound turn on Silk Tassel toward Mr. Tejas' residence.
And if we could just go back for a second, where is Red Hills in relation to, we're going to look at that slide in a minute. Show us where Red Hills is. Maybe just come down and show us.
So Apple Drive is right here. And this.
And is that the Pidgett Elementary?
Yes.
This is that road that gets to this out.
Okay. Let the record reflect the witness identified a road that was kind of yellow highlighted going vertically on the picture as being Apple. And then indicated the yellow highlighted road going right in Red Hills. And then due to a road being expanded up and Red Hills Tassel.
Silk Tassel.
So I have a couple other questions. You mentioned that you did extensive canvassing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Ultimately, there's a search warrant executed at Mr. Tejas' house, correct?
That's correct.
Was there a search for surveillance cameras attached to that house?
There was.
Were you able to collect any footage from that house?
I located a camera. If you're looking at the garage, it would be up near the roof line to the right. The residence was searched for digital video recorders by other detectives and digital forensic detectives. We were unable to recover any digital surveillance video from that camera. They did recover some from a Ring camera, but it had no evidentiary value.
Was anything disconnected?
I don't recall whether anything was disconnected or it was just not recorded.
Okay, so the bottom line is you couldn't get anything from that house, even though there are cameras at that house.
That's correct.
Here's another question. Did you canvass or search that neighborhood to see if there were any other red Yukon Denalis in his neighborhood?
I drove the area as part of the surveillance team, and I didn't see any other red Yukons in that neighborhood. It's a rather small neighborhood.
Okay. Additionally, as another role in your case, did you have anything to do with reviewing historical tower record data regarding Mr. Tejas' phone?
I did.
Based on that data, during the time of when this killing occurs, does the historical phone data from the phone show any movement on the phone?
It does not. It appears that his phone was located at his residence. It relayed through several cell sites located in the area of his residence, not near Mr. German's residence.
Okay. Have you had situations in your investigations? Well, Your Honor, maybe, can we approach? Can we?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Detective, how many years have you been working as a, how many years do you work as a police officer?
Approximately 40.
Were you with Metro when cell phones started coming onto the scene? That'd be fair. I don't want to date anything, but I don't
yes.
know. Okay, so cell phones have been around less than 40 years. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay, so you've been there for the beginning of it. What are historical phone records?
So, historical phone records, you get them in a couple different formats. One of them is call detail records. Call detail records can include not only your voice communication, but also your data and text messaging. And if there is a, normally with all of your voice communications, unless it's voice over internet, you're going to connect to a cell site. So that location of the cell site is recorded on the call detail records. There are some phone providers that actually will locate their text messaging onto a cell site, and you get that location information from there, as well as data. Other phone companies do not provide location data with text messaging.
Okay. How are these utilized in terms of reviewing records to see a phone interact? What's the significance of a phone interacting with a cell tower? Why is that significant for your investigation?
So a couple different things. It gives me an idea of where geographically that phone is located at the time it makes a connection to the cell site. There's also other data that the phone companies use where they will actually ping your phone just so that they can test their network to determine where there's bad connection, where there's good connection. And we can use that data to also locate where a phone is. Now, I can't locate where the person is unless I can associate them making calls that they normally make at the time that that phone makes a connection to a cell site.
Or for example, you might end up getting a downloaded phone at a later point. Maybe you see text messages being sent, and you can see based on the context of it, oh, this particular person that we think is linked to the phone is using it based off of maybe the message that they're sending, things like that.
That's correct.
Are historical phone records significant or helpful for your investigation?
They're quite helpful in investigations.
Why?
Well, we can determine where someone's phone could be at the time that a crime was committed. We can track them using their phone location at various times when they're making calls or sending text or using data.
In your experience of 4 decades, have you made arrests in part based off of tracking the movements of a suspect's phone?
Absolutely.
And have you testified in court about this very information that we're talking about?
Numerous times. I'm an expert in the 8th Judicial District Court.
Okay. Have you had experiences where a suspect, I think you explained this already, but have you had experiences where suspects, moved around with the phone and you see that phone moving in relation to your crime?
Yes.
Okay. Have there been situations, though, where a phone may have been left behind by a suspect?
Yes.
Have there been situations where suspects have just turned off the phone, maybe during the relevant time period?
Yes.
And those are two ways to maybe not get picked up, right, through the historical data.
That's correct.
And just to be clear, during this time period of when this killing occurred, his phone is pinging essentially from pinging off the towers right next to his house, correct?
Correct.
Court's indulgent. I have no further questions. Okay. Any objections?
No.
All right. We have dates proposed 311 and 337 have been admitted by stipulation. Do you recognize what you're looking at in these images?
Yes. These are still photographs of the suspect as he walked north on Wheatland, where you saw him walking south, and he turns around and goes back northbound again toward Periwinkle. In this case, this photo is actually zoomed in from the regular video, and it shows the beige landscaping hat with its three black ventilation rings on the right side. It shows a black band that goes through the hat up here and then kind of goes around. And then there's also a black trim around the front of the hat, the rim. Shows the gray backpack with the black straps, the orange traffic vest with the reflective stripes on it, the blue pants, and the gray and dark tennis shoes.
Now that it's at the video, we're wrapping up, and I'll publish 337. Fair to say 311 and 337 are essentially the exact same photo, correct?
Yes.
Okay, we'll just move this out of the way. And let's publish 337 now. So this is what you were just referring to, is that correct?
Correct. Right.
I have no further questions this week.
This time we are going to conclude for the evening. During this recess, you're admonished not to discuss or communicate with anyone, including your fellow jurors, in any way regarding the case or its merits, either by voice, phone, email, text, internet, or other means of communication or social media. Read, watch, or listen to any news or media accounts or commentary about the case. Do any research, consult dictionaries, internet, or reference materials. Do any investigation, test a theory, recreate any aspect of the case, or in any other way investigate or learn about the case on your own, or form or express any opinion regarding the case until it's finally submitted to you. We will be in recess till tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. I'm juror number 3, if you don't mind staying behind for just a minute. Other than that, everyone else is excused.
Thank you. All rise for acting jury, please. Sir, please start with leave your notebooks on your chair.
More continuing coverage in the Las Vegas Reporter murder trial of Robert Tellez is on the way. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today, press subscribe now.